Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's episode of Cover Your Six, and I'm your host, Ron Easton. Let me start off with answering some questions here first. I started off last week with defining Cover Your Six. Look at a clock, 10 or 12 being forward, 6 being on your back. Military means I've got your back. This is one place that you can come to and you can find the truth, because that is going to be the hallmark of this podcast. This has been one hell of a week. You've had the murder of Charlie Kirk, and people want to say assassination to imply more important to this individual. But anybody that stands up and says that the signing of the 1964 Civil Rights Act was a mistake, or black women because they don't have the brain power have stolen jobs from white women and their DEI hires, this was not a very good person. Okay, so I do not condone violence in any way, shape, or form, but I'm not going to stand up and say I'm going to celebrate this man because he was not a good individual. Then you have the president of the United States goes to the UK and makes a complete fool of himself. Couldn't even pronounce Azerbaijani. Said Armenia when it should have been Albania. And then the people of UK, I love you. Absolutely love you, because you gave him the greeting that he deserved. Your banner had to be 100 feet long and 30 feet wide of him and Epstein together. In the meantime, more footage has come out of him and Epstein. Now, here's the deal about information. Pete Kegsbreath at the Pentagon said that if you are a reporter at the Pentagon, you can only release information that they have approved. So then the question I have for you is, what are they hiding? Why are you trying to control all kinds of media, including the fire of, or the suspension, I should say, of Jimmy Kimmel? That was one of those original, fuck around and find out moments, because Disney lost over $3 billion within a matter of 2 or 3 days because of that. Political humor has been a hallmark for decades. So why now? Why now? Why? Because one person has a thin skin and wants to control everything that is said about him. Now you get the people with the high up visas, you have to pay an additional $100,000 a year to be here. And you are what makes this country strong. You are finding out that these tariffs suck. Farmers are begging to be helped out, and they're looking at a blank wall because nobody is there to help them. The only people that are making money at this point are the rich folks and Trump and his family. Like a big fat tick, they are gorging themselves on America and don't give a damn what you or I think about it. The National Guard went into Memphis. They didn't go into Chicago because they raised hell, and Pritzker said, no, you're not coming. They backed out on that. They just sent a lot of ICE. And if you've seen the footage, ICE is pushing people around and just abusing them. Women pushing them to the ground. They don't care. They don't care. They don't have to report to anybody. They're not being controlled or watched or anything. They're just set upon a city to do as they will. Now, I ask you this. Is this how you really want to live? Do you want to continue to lose your rights every single solitary day? We are losing our rights one by one by one. Now, ask yourself this. Once he's done with all of the Mexicans and the Latinos and the blacks, who's he going to flip over to next? Because a bad man always has to have a foil. You know, I call him Captain Save-A-Ho. He's got to have a foil to go against. Somebody who's just the enemy. And it's not the left. Prime example, the individual who committed this murder in Utah with Charlie Kirk. He's not from the left. Who knows where he's from? Because last time I saw, he was wearing a Trump t-shirt. So you tell me where he's from. This week, we're going to discuss something that nobody wants to talk about, MST, military sexual trauma. In 2024, there were estimated 39,500 cases of unwanted sexual contact. And not one of those cases that they filed was against a woman. But yet and still, the conviction rate is down to like 3.2% in 2021. So what's going on here? Why do not Why do they not report this? Why is this not made an issue so that women like my next guest doesn't have to suffer for the rest of her life? My next guest spent 14 years in the United States Army. That makes her family. Staff Sergeant Jessica Roquet spent 4 deployments overseas in a combat zone. And to this day, as a result of her service in the United States Army, is still suffering. Still suffering. Now I ask you, is it right? No, you know damn well it's not. Why should a person who summons the courage to serve this country for 14 years have to suffer for the rest of her life because some men couldn't control themselves? We're going to ask her. Stick around. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned in my intro, one of the topics that you never, ever, ever hear about is MST. MST means military sexual trauma. Now, in 2023, there were over 29,000 cases of military sexual trauma. And it's amazing how you find not one of those was a woman that committed sexual trauma against a man. They were all men who couldn't control themselves. My guest is a young lady that I admire greatly. I spent a little time over on TikTok, like maybe a little over a year. And for people that were outspoken about military sexual trauma, this young lady is it. Meet Staff Sergeant Jessica Roquet. Jessica, thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Oh, absolutely. Talk about how your time in the military, how you started out, why you started out, the time, the unit. Let it go. Come on.
Well, I joined back in 1998. I followed my father's legacy. He's a Navy veteran who served in Vietnam. My grandfather also served in World War II. He was a boat engineer from Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. My brother also served in the Army, and I decided to follow their lead. And I joined in 1998. And the moment that I joined, I started to undergo the sexual harassment from recruiters. Like when I went to my MEP station, I was already starting to see outlandish comments and remarks, you know, I'll give you this MOS if you do this for me type stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It all started in the MEP station.
What was your MOS?
21 uniform, which, well, first it was 81 Tango, and then they disbanded, and I merged over to the 21 uniform side in Corps of Engineers, topographic analyst.
So basically, they were trying to make a deal with you. If you do this for me, I'll give you what you want.
Absolutely.
But it didn't stop there, did it?
No, absolutely not. And then I went to basic training, it started more with the drill sergeants, the male drill sergeants.
In what form?
They would basically follow us, or with myself, they would follow me into the latrine. They would harass, they would say certain things, they would thrash us more, if that makes sense. And then they would force us to write RFIs that I would never do this again, I would never say this again. And at one point, they would come to the wall. There was this one drill sergeant that was interested in me. And he was trying to give me his number, telling me that upon graduation, you know, to call him.
And just so you folks know, and I wrote this down and I'm going to read this, that in 2021, there was an estimated 35,900 cases of experienced unwanted sexual contact. And that can cover the gamut from grabbing your ass to things that you just don't even want to have happen to you. And here's the deal. In the military, you're supposed to be the best of the best.
Absolutely.
So why is it that you can't control yourself around a woman and you have to pressure yourself and push yourself on someone like that? Because the problem that we have here, there's low conviction rates And they say the prosecution challenges are lack of jurisdiction, insufficient evidence. And this is the one that gets me the most, a commander's decision not to prosecute.
Correct.
Now, your commanding officer, did you go to your commanding officer?
I did.
And the reaction was?
Well, the difference with my case, it happened overseas. It happened when we were in a combat zone. So number one, there's nowhere to go. We are stuck in country in a combat zone. Number two, it happened with a very high ranking NCO, Command Sergeant Major. And the Command Sergeant Major is friends with our CG. So therefore, when I went to my first sergeant and then when I went to my company commander, there was a lot of cover-ups because of his rank. And they wanted to protect him because it's a good old boys club.
I'm biting my tongue here because you know me by now and my mouth is ready to go and yours is too. But when you... How many years did you spend in the military, Jess?
14 years.
14 years. How many times were you deployed?
Four.
Four times. Mm-hmm. People understand this. 14 years in service of this country. Four times deployed in a combat zone. And the symptoms that you're suffering with now as a result are what?
Lifetime. I don't wish this upon my worst enemy, you know, because as a woman, as a mother, as a daughter, as a sister, when you serve this country, you're serving with honor. And when you are betrayed by the same people that you call brothers, and we serve with the same uniform on, we wear our pants the same way, we serve under the same flag, that betrayal, there's no words that can describe that type of betrayal. And then to add more insult to injury, the cover-up. And I believe that the cover-up to try to protect said perpetrators hurts more than the actual event.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, going to the VA, because obviously you had to file for PTSD and with MST as the cause, how were you treated through the VA as a result?
I didn't really have too many issues as far as the VA is concerned, only because of the fact that when I was going through my medical board, I mm-hmm. reported my incident when I got back to the States. I didn't feel safe enough to report what happened to me while I was in country. Upon returning back to the States, that's when I had reported it. And that's where I started my paper trail, right? I started getting my therapy. I had it recorded what happened. It was an uncontested, it was a non-restricted report that I filed. And once I felt safe and once they took me off of mobilization orders, because they were trying to send me back after I mm-hmm. sustained injuries, I felt safe enough to be able to come forward. And I think because I did that, because remember, a lot of these cases, a lot of victims don't report it at all. They're afraid because of the repercussions.
Understood. Mm-hmm. Understood. As a matter of fact, I wrote it here. In 2014, the conviction rate was 7%.
Wow.
In 2016, it was 4%. In 2017, it was 3.2% conviction rate. Now, this is on 35,900 cases of military sexual trauma. Let's call it what it is, rape, okay? Everybody's got titles for things. Military sexual trauma, this, that, it was rape. One person forcing themselves up on another who wears the same damn uniform that you do.
Absolutely.
This is the person that you're supposed to trust when you go into combat to have your six, and they would rather rape you than have your six.
So in that aspect, during wartime, when we were serving overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan, we're going there to fight a certain enemy outside the wire. But for a lot of us, we were fighting an enemy from within.
And things haven't changed very much, have they?
They have not.
I'll tell you what. Go for it.
In 2020, in Fort Hood, Vanessa Guillen, specialist Vanessa Guillen, went missing. There was a search party put out for her. She was listed as AWOL. And the summer of 2020, she was found outside of Fort Hood, Texas. She was dismembered. And if it weren't for her family who stood up for her and advocated for her and stated that she was sexually harassed by one of her or someone in her chain of command, there wouldn't have been national news about it. And with that being said, because her family kept pressing and they weren't afraid to go against the army and hold the army accountable for what transpired prior to her going missing, her case, they were able to come up with the Vanessa Guillen bill, in which her attorney and their family were able to go to the White House. They met with Donald Trump at the time, and they presented the Vanessa Guillen bill that would actually protect victims that are currently serving and allow them to be able to report to a third party, which means that instead of reporting it within your chain of command, which is usually when it happens within your chain of command, that's where all the cover-ups come into play. Mm-hmm. So within this bill, it allows the victim to be able to go to a local police department, wherever the base is at, and be able to report a crime so that it's thoroughly investigated and there's no finger pointing and there's no bias within the report.
What would you like America to know about this subject?
It's happening more and more. And the thing that I see here, the dangerous part about it is when you're serving within the military, we have to abide by the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
Agreed.
And we are also under contract. So if something happens, we can't just quit our job and leave. Whereas a civilian, if something happens to them within their job, they are able to sue them and they're also able to take them to court and they can quit their job and remove themselves from the threat. The problem with the military is that under the Ferris Doctrine, service members are not allowed to sue. They're not allowed to hold perpetrators accountable for a crime that would be committed within the military. And I think that a lot of people need to know how dangerous it is for service members not being able to protect themselves if they decide to report, whether it's restricted or unrestricted.
Agreed. Agreed. I watched this article just yesterday about how the Pentagon now, the only way that you can get any news out of the Pentagon from Pete Kegsbreath is if you sign a waiver. Yeah, I got that from you, darling. Is if you sign a waiver that you will only report authorized news. Like, talk about that a little bit, would you? Because that's at the root of this.
Everything that this administration is doing is just adding more danger to our service members. The fact that Pete Kegsbreath is actually purging our military as we speak, he's weakening our troop strength. And then on top of that, he did sign a memorandum stating that they're going to do away with I believe it's the CSI, where if a victim comes forward, they're not going to be allowed to report. And I have to go into more depth with that. But that's a memorandum that he did sign. And that is adding not only insult to injury, but it's also endangering our service members. Because you have to realize that it's not just women who are assaulted.
Absolutely.
And the majority of all of these cases are men. And absolutely, they're the ones that don't come out at all.
Absolutely. Let me kind of tee this up here, because what made me decide to do this was when the current administration, number 47, and Lord knows I got a long strip of names here, but I'm trying to stay professional. You know, we'll just say the incontinent autocrat to be happy about this. He stood up the other day and said that domestic abuse is not that big of a deal. He thinks that it's overrated and that it's overreported and that it's making him and his numbers look bad. In the meantime, you've got individuals like this young lady here who stood up to serve her country for 14 years. When some of you have bone spurs or your testicles didn't drop or you were just whatever the case may be, 14 years deployed four times in a combat zone has to put up with shit like this. And is still at her age and will be for the rest of her life affected. Now you tell me if that's fair. You tell me if that's a president who says that he loves our military, but yet and still we're suckers and losers. And it's okay for somebody like Jess to get molested over and over and over again and then have to suffer the rest of her life.
I think the fact that America allowed a sexual predator to become the commander in chief, and then for him to say that it's okay to put your hands on your spouse, that domestic violence is acceptable. I think that this is a dangerous precedent because of the fact that America is now normalizing rape behavior, predatorial behavior, which leads to domestic violence. I mean, like I said, there are a lot of our service members, especially the women, who endured not only rape, but they were murdered.
Yes.
And they don't have a voice anymore. And so for those of us that survived it, we have to be their voice. Absolutely. We have to speak for them. And for those that are currently serving, that are going through it right now, they're not allowed to come forward and speak out because there are repercussions that follow with that.
As I told you when I came to TikTok, oh, just so you know, I was only at TikTok like maybe a little under a year and I had 53,000 people to follow me. Now, she's had 8 profiles and they continuously block her. Why? Because she tells the truth and she does not back down. She will not take shit from anybody, less known a man, and can hang with the best of them. So when I said, when Donald Trump got involved in TikTok, I said I was out because I didn't want anything to do with anything that he has anything to do with. Some people have stuck around, but they continue to harass Jess. She's Absolutely. Down to her last 2 profiles, and she's still speaking the same message that America needs to hear, that this is a nation of sexual predators, and they end up in the military.
Absolutely. And that's another thing, too. TikTok and the censorship that comes along with it. You know, you speak the truth and you're censored. They either ban your account or they'll, you know, take down your lives. It's horrible. And I know last year I hosted a live in October specifically for military sexual trauma. And I had the honor of having E. Jean Carroll's niece, and her name is Amber, who was sitting in the courtroom with her aunt when all of this transpired. She was in court with Trump and she witnessed how evil and how dirty his team was when it concerned the victim, which is E. Jean Carroll.
So. Jess, I love you. And like I told you, you are family. You are my sister. I will always have your 6. All you got to do is pop a flare. So I know you have things going on there, and I'm not going to hold you any longer. But is there anything that you would like to say just to kind of?
In regards to survivors, right? Every survivor is at a different part in their life, a different level of their healing. There are some women that may never come out and speak. There are some women that are learning how to come out and speak. And then there's people like myself who learned how to come out and speak and not be afraid or intimidated anymore. And what I would like to say is for those of you who are struggling, for those of you who are victims, don't look at yourself as a victim. You are now a survivor. And the more you think of yourself as a victim, you will always stay as a victim. You have to fight hard. You have to speak. You have to speak your truth because your truth is your truth and your truth only. And the more you speak about it, the more you gain strength and the more you heal. And that is when you become a survivor.
Staff Sergeant Jessica Roque.
I appreciate you, my brother.
You are a hero.
Cool.
Always.
I am not a hero, but I have had the honor of serving amongst many.
Yeah, well, in my mind, you're a hero. So we'll leave it at that. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Roger that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a segment that I am going to include in every podcast. I call it the Ring of Honor. This week, my selection is PFC Dan Bullock. Dan Bullock has the distinction of being the youngest casualty in the Vietnam War. To say that Dan was large for his age is an understatement because he was 14 when he enlisted in the military. He changed his birth records so he looked like he was 18. He went to Vietnam, and I think he was there only like 6 months, even less. And he was KIA, killed in action. This man was 15 years old. And I didn't call him a boy. I called him a man. Because if you're going to walk into that war zone and you're going to hold your own, you're a man. Now, understand that this was a young black man. At the time in this country when he could hardly be accepted, when men of my color had to come home from Vietnam and we were still called racial epithets, we were still looked upon as less than, this 15-year-old boy gave his life in service of this country. So, Dan Bullock, you are my first insulation into the Ring of Honor.
Dan Bullock was a United States Marine and the youngest U.S. serviceman killed in action during the Vietnam War, dying at the age of 15. When Bullock was 14 years old, he altered the date on his birth certificate to show that he was born on December 21, 1949. He processed through the recruiting station and enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps on September 18, 1968. He was a member of Platoon 3039 at Parris Island. At first, he struggled to make it through, but was able to do so with the help of one of his fellow recruits. Bullock graduated from boot camp on December 10, 1968. Private First Class Bullock arrived in South Vietnam on May 18, 1969, and was assigned as a rifleman in 2nd Squad, 2nd Platoon, Company F, 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines, 1st Marine Division. He was stationed at An Hoa Combat Base, west of Hoi An in Quang Nam Province. Less than a month later, on June 7, 1969, Bullock and three other Marines were occupying a bunker near the base airstrip when a People's Army of Vietnam sniper unit attacked the base at night, throwing a satchel charge into the bunker, killing three Marines, including Bullock, who was just 15 years old.